as Effie reminisces about eating octopus in his days under the Castro regime. And we all think back to the 70s and the good old days. It's time for podcast series 5, episode 6. I'm Andrew Gregory.
I'm Graham Morrison.
He is Graham Morrison, and I'm Nathaniel Hernandez.
And I'm Ben Everett.
And you're listening to the Tux Radar podcast. In this episode, we've got some news. We've got some discoveries. We don't have any Speak Your Brains. We have ransom raised on an ad hoc basis. We have a challenge, and we have an open ballot. And if you like that, and if you like Linux Format Magazine, which you probably will, actually, because it's really good. I say that for myself.
Yeah, it is really good.
Even though I'm a bit biased. Yes, you can subscribe to Linux Format, which is the number one magazine for free software, including Linux, at tinyurl.com/LXFoffer1. It's been ages since I actually checked that URL, so I can't remember what the offer is. Does it still work?
Or if you change it for offer 2, what happens?
Ooh. Try it, let us know. That could be our next Speak Your Brains in a fortnight. You can also buy us on Google Play and Zinio, but don't bother with Zinio because it's rubbish. And on the Apple newsstand, although obviously none of us condone the use of Apple hardware.
And Ubuntu Software Centre. Oh, despite the fact it took 3 weeks almost to approve the last issue going on there, which is frustrating.
That's it.
When there's a big Ubuntu release, it gets even slower and slower and slower. There must just be two people working on the whole thing. But yeah, they're there now.
The rot has set in. Ubuntu is losing it, or is it?
Find out. They're going to have to be approved by the Chinese Communist Party now.
That's why Hack the Web has taken so long.
Free software. What is this word, freedom? And what's the issue that's on sale at the moment? Is it Hack the Web?
It is Hack the Web, yeah.
Written by lots of people, but the cover feature about hacking the web was written by Mr. Ben Everard.
Indeed it was. Yes.
Well done.
Well done. Now work harder, monkey boy. And the news of Ben writing the cover feature this month brings us neatly onto Ben and the news.
Thanks, Andrew.
it's been a relatively quiet fortnight in the world of open source news. But first on the agenda is Google and their forking WebKit, which is a browser rendering engine used by Safari, etc., etc. And they've said, no, we don't want to be part of WebKit anymore. We're going to take the code, fork it, and create Blink. And it's going to be wonderful, and we're going to use it in Chrome. And it's obviously caused a surge of comments from people saying, oh, forking's terrible, and a surge of comments from other people saying, oh, forking's great. And that's the news.
Have they named it after the Blink tag? The Blink HTML tag.
Does that tag still exist?
Firefox is just... Did you read that the other day? Firefox is just going to drop it.
I must have done, yeah.
Apparently it only works in Firefox these days.
That's a shame.
Yeah.
That's a bit of history.
It's a bit of horrific history. Should be wiped from the books.
We should use it while we can. Put Linux Format on a special offer and make it all blinking.
we can't delete bits of history that we don't like.
Why not?
Because then we would never learn from them. Otherwise, in a couple of months, someone will come with a new Blink tag and go, hey guys, look at this tag, it's great. It makes the flash on and off.
Could you put a crazy good offer for Linux Format, but that you can only read it if you've got the Blink tag? Code it in such a way.
Yeah.
If any of us knew how to write HTML, we probably could.
I can do H1s.
I don't know. I mean, it's no surprise, I suppose, that... Google's going to do this. They just want to control their whole ecosystem as much as they possibly can. They probably hit a wall where they thought they're going to say they can improve performance in WebKit in a way they can't do when they're rolling everything back to the main. But then WebKit's got a troubled history in terms of upstream commits anyway. I mean, starting with KHTML and Apple taking it and essentially making it their own and then being forced to open source it. So maybe, I don't know, if it ends up with a better HTML rendering engine, it's all open source, it's a good thing.
Yeah, I mean, I think the web, as a whole benefits from there being a number of different rendering engines when it ever when it sort of becomes reliant on one, like it almost did with IE back in the day.
Yeah.
Then you know that sort of you don't like. There's no. What am I trying to say?
If there are a number of competing rendering engines, then there is there's an interest in keeping a standard.
Yes.
Whereas when IE was the dominant browser, standards went out of the window.
Yeah, and you just had these stupid little tags, best viewed in Internet Explorer 6. Nothing's best viewed in Internet Explorer 6. Yeah, and the second thing about the fork is that neither one's going to be short of developers. You've got Apple behind one and Google behind the other. So it's not like you're splitting the developer focus. They've both got truckloads of money to spend on it. So I think it's a good thing, personally. So it'll push development, it'll give them both a reason to try and do it better and faster than the other one. They've got truckloads of money to spend on it, and it'll make the web happier.
Did I read that Opera has already said that it's going to move to Blink after only just recently saying it's going to move to WebKit?
Oh, I didn't read that. No. Quite possibly.
I might have imagined it, but no. It makes sense for them. If they're going to make a move to WebKit for performance reasons, stick with the performing fork.
Yeah, okay. And more Google news. They've just announced the organisations, the mentoring organisations for the Google Summer of Code. This is where if you're a student, I think you can do it if you're anywhere in the world. Don't think you have to be in a particular place.
Yeah, I think you're right, yeah.
Yeah, you can apply to a particular organisation to work on one of their projects and Google will give you some money and some support.
It's brilliant. It's a fantastic yeah. scheme.
There's 177 open source projects in it. This year, all the major ones you'd expect are in there, and some unusual ones. We saw CERN is on the list.
Oh wow!
So you can, I assume, get to make bombs and stuff at CERN. I don't really know what CERN do. Something with physics.
Have you not watched the that film,
The Da Vinci Code?
Da Vinci Code. Those angels are demons. Angels and Demons is the one with CERN.
No, I haven't seen Angels and Demons.
If you watch that, then you'll know all you need to know about CERN.
So if you're going to apply for Google Summer of Code, basically watch Angels and Demons first yeah. so you know what you're getting yourself
exactly.
in for.
Exactly.
Ah, wise advice.
It's a great thing that Google do it.
Yeah, it is.
It yeah. is.
We were going to do a cover feature on Google Summer of Code about 3 years ago, and our publisher didn't. Yeah, was it? Our publisher didn't want to. Didn't think it was a good selling idea. So, if you guys and girls listening think it's a good idea, let us know and we'll do it.
That was a shame because we already had the cover right yeah. as well and everything.
I still think it was a good idea. In fact, one of our licensees who they buy our content off us and you know sell Linux format in Italy and Greece, they went ahead and did it anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, more news. The Underhanded C contest is back. This is a contest where they give you a particular challenge, a particular thing to write, and you have to write C code that looks like it does one thing, but actually does something else. And this year, the idea is you've got to write part of a Facebook-like application that looks like it tells you how many links you have between two people. So, like, friends of friends of friends, like the 6 degrees of separation thing. But actually, it only does that normally, and when you put in your details, it makes it look like everyone's your friend.
Right.
The whole contents is, well, to be honest, it's similar to the obfuscated C contents. You have to write stuff that doesn't look like it does what it does. And in the past, they've done things like you put in an image and you have to black out a particular area of it. So the output image is an image with a big black square. And your code has to make it so it's not really a black square and you can undo the black square from the new image, but it doesn't look like you'll be able to from looking at the code. So it's all about hiding malicious stuff. It's really interesting. Go and look at the the previous entries, previous winners. We'll put the link up on the podcast notes.
That sounds good.
Yeah. Nvidia have finally brought Optimus support to Linux. You have to have particular kernel versions which will make it difficult for some distributions. But Optimus is their what they call hybrid graphics technology, which allows you to switch between using the graphics card and the onboard graphics, which is quite big on laptops because it means you can run in low power mode and then you still use good graphics when you need to. And it's been a real bugbear for a lot of people for a long time. There is some open, like free driver support for it, but it hasn't been that great, to be honest. It's more the switching that's always been a bit troubled. And there was some news this week that Tegra 3 graphic drivers have been open sourced, but they haven't been. There was an open source project that released slightly better Tegra 3, like better than their previous Tegra 3 graphics drivers, but they're not official NVIDIA ones, and they're not up to the performance of official NVIDIA ones.
So it doesn't have any, they don't have any more information from NVIDIA on how the hardware works?
No, it was just a next version
right,
of their
okay.
drivers.
So the Optimus. That's the binary drivers?
Yeah, that's right. NVIDIA binary drivers.
Right, okay.
And the final item of news is Dell have released an Alienware gaming PC for Ubuntu in the States, or with Ubuntu installed. So I know they've had an off and on relationship with Ubuntu for many years, and Linux in general for many years.
Yeah, yeah.
But this is looking like it could be on again for a bit. Which,
great, good.
Has the Microsoft acquisition of whatever it was, 20% of Dell, gone ahead?
I don't know.
I thought Michael Dell's bought it all back.
I thought he's put in an offer, and there's been competing offers, and none of them have been accepted yet.
Okay. Right.
But I don't know.
But also, Dell always makes Linux kind of some dirty little secret on its websites, even if you can buy it. Like the Ubuntu developer version in the UK. It's not on the UK site, it's on the US site if you go through a UK portal.
Yeah.
It's just, yeah. It's like, I don't know why they bother if they're not going to get fully behind it.
Yeah.
But yeah, more Linux hardware, good thing.
Yeah, starting at, was it $599 for the base model?
Yeah, about that.
I believe, going up to $1,000
Is it more money than the Windows version?
I don't know. Probably the same.
Yeah.
I don't think this has got the same amount of development gone into it as the Sputnik had.
No, that was... I mean, this is aimed at Steam kiddies, isn't it? People that want to play games. Hack awesome stuff.
Indeed.
Okay.
And that's the news.
Great. Yay. Thanks, Ben. Now it's time for the real discovery of the week. we've been really busy. I always make those excuses, but I have got a couple of things. Shall I start?
Yay.
Yeah.
Firstly, well, I've been migrating my own website away from an old hosting company. There's a couple of things. I've got some music files on there, and it used to use a Flash player for playing them. So I decided to HTML5erize it, which has an audio tag in HTML5. So most browsers will interpret that and play it in line if you allow them to do so with MP3 or OGG in Firefox, because it doesn't have the MP3 license in it. So I've been converting all my MP3 files to OGG. And I'm not especially bothered about quality. So there's a fantastic command line tool called fastogenc, which you just use that in a folder full of MP3 files, and it converts them all to OGG with just a single command. It's better than using lame decode and then encode again and all that kind of stuff.
So it was automated. You just
put all the files in one folder, and it'll do it. It's just, yeah, it's neat. And it's quick. And also, I've been looking a lot at HTML5 audio tags. They're a bit of a pain if you care about how your site looks. You can't do much about the way that the little play widget is rendered, and it's rendered differently in WebKit and in Mozilla and everything, basically. They write their own little play applet. So it's WordPress, so I've been trying a load of HTML5 WordPress things from playback, and I haven't found a decent one, so if anyone can recommend one, then let me know. The closest to being good was one called Haiku, which is just this text-based front end to playing music. And that's it, really. I read something very interesting that Tim O'Reilly linked to yesterday, which is about the dawn of something called the personal cloud. And it's kind of related to what I've been doing, and I can see how it's so important. He's saying that now is the time for us all to have our own personal cloud. So it's basically your own instance. You can say it's running Linux, that it's portable. You can put it on a USB stick and you can migrate it from one company to the next in the cloud, and it contains everything. It has all of your email, all of your documents, all of your social posts, so that you can just pull yourself out and plug yourself in without having, you know, this kind of, I don't know, you're so many kind of fronds and roots in the internet that you have no control over your data. And this seems to me like a really good idea, so I'm going to look into it a bit more. They're my discoveries. Effie?
I got one. Probably it's not a new discovery really for many of you, because probably some of you are already using it. Yesterday my wife was surfing the net using Firefox, and for a couple of days, she didn't mention much, but a couple of days she's been bombarded with advertising, third-party advertising on certain websites, and there seemed to be a continuous tracking of the footprint that she's been leaving on the browsing through all the websites that she's been using. And I found a plugin called AdBlock Plus for Firefox, specifically for Firefox, and it was fantastic. It's just a tiny little thing that you install from Firefox, this plugin, and but the best thing about it is you got a lot of control on it. You can actually tell what exceptions you want to set on your browser, and also it has a list of countries that you can actually block as well. Mm. If the website that you've been visiting been bombarded by, say, for instance, I don't know, Russia or whatever, you can actually block that particular country as well.
Cool.
But the best thing about it is that, because this third-party advertising is malicious, she's been bombarded with pornographic advertising as well. So we managed yesterday to block everything. And
what sites has she been going to?
But I can't really disclose all that. But. No. She was on the Guardian and the Observer newspapers, and they were like overlaid.
Is this from Windows?
In Windows, yeah.
It sounds like there's malware on there.
But also I noticed that the plugin works on the Firefox version for Linux.
Oh yeah, but it sounds like there's something running on her machine.
So I have to basically dig into what has been installed.
Be careful with that machine.
Yeah. AdBlock Plus seems like a really good.
You see, I've thing. Always, I don't know, I've never been that good about Ad. There's a few things, AdBlock Plus, and there's various similar things. Because when you go to a website, you sort of, the website owner, and depending on the website, but they're sort of giving you stuff for free. They're not charging you, and it takes a reasonable amount of effort to create, and you have to pay hosting fees, etc., etc. And they recoup that by advertising. That's a sort of agreement you have with the content provider. And by using AdBlock, I mean, fair enough, she's having particular issues which aren't, you know, with pornographic stuff, and that's not, obviously something has to be done about that. But in the general context, when things are working properly, I kind of feel like, I don't know, personally, I don't like using AdBlock because of that. I feel like I'm breaking the trust between me and the content.
But that's the good thing about the plugin, that you got the control and you can filter exactly what you want to view and what you don't want to view.
Okay.
That's the good thing. You have to just spend a little bit of time sort of setting it up properly as the way that you like it. But you still got the control for it.
Yeah.
I mean, like it.
The only time I've used it is when we're running really, really low-powered computers on the internet, because animated advertising can take a reasonable amount of CPU power and network bandwidth. Actually, you probably saw it, the network bandwidth.
I do use it, but it's always something specific that's pushed me into using it, like videos that play. You know, there's more and more of those. I just hate them.
Yeah. Play automatically.
Yeah.
I hate them, so I don't go to sites that have them.
Well, but you never know when you're going to find them. That is the problem, isn't it? So you can be searching for Amazon, even that in the Amazon and the UK website, you find them. They're overlaid on top. So.
Adverts for lots of products. Yeah. Oh, it sounds to me like there's a problem with your computer.
Yeah, I know. I'm going to have to check it. Anyway.
Okay, cool. Thanks, Effie.
That's right.
Ben?
A couple of podcasts ago, I talked about discovering a tablet. And in a related discovery this fortnight, I discovered Eye Strain. I've been having some pain there. So I had to go to the opticians and just spending too long in front of a screen, basically. So I've got to use computers and stuff a little bit less.
Win.
Yeah.
What did it feel like?
It kind of felt like the muscles around my eye, particularly above the eye, just twitching.
Right.
And initially I thought it was hay fever coming in.
Yeah.
But it wasn't.
I got that.
I got that all the time.
Yeah.
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 The solution is just stop using computers, isn't it?
Drink more wine.
Or more tequila.
The optician didn't mention the tequila solution.
He doesn't know anything. He doesn't know anything about
this is a Western medicine. Leaves
yes,
that.
Exactly.
We're forgetting a lot of the ancient wisdom.
Yeah,
ancient wisdom. You're calling me old. What? I'm only 48. Come on.
Oh, don't say that. People will lose their kind of, you know.
What?
Our youthful One Direction demographic. We'll stop listening to us if they realise you're older than the Prime Minister.
Am I?
How old are you?
Margaret Thatcher.
Yeah.
Is he early 40s, mid 40s?
I have no idea. I assumed he was older.
I think that's just a life of excess and rich food.
Do you mean like expensive food or rich food?
I mean, all of it. It wasn't expensive for him, obviously.
No.
You've got some expenses.
Okay, we've got 15 minutes. Andrew?
But before I discovered eye strain, I discovered another app for Nexus 7, or for Android in general, called Pocket. I think it used to be called Read It Later.
Oh, yes, yeah.
Yeah, so when you're browsing the web, you can just, if you install the extension, say for Firefox, you can just click Bosch Pocket, then it downloads onto your tablet and you can read it offline. So it's great for reading on the train, etc.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's really good.
My discovery is the new Gmail interface, which, it looks a bit more like Google Chat now.
Yeah.
Which kind of makes sense that way. But whenever you send, because of our IT infrastructure not being exactly as good as it should be, to get stuff from my Linux machine to my corporate machine, I often email myself stuff in Gmail. And Gmail renames images as image.png. So I name it something like Ubuntu Raring Ringtail.png. And then when I arrive at, when it gets onto my desktop with my work machine, it just becomes image.png. Mm. I'm finding that really annoying.
Yeah.
What, just image?
Just image.png, yeah.
Oh, that's just terrible. Yeah.
They also don't allow ISOs. They allow large files. I think you can send files up to 10 gig. Right. But if you spend ages sending an ISO, it'll upload all the way and then go, not allowed.
So you've got to delete the letters ISO
and
replace those with PNG or something like that.
I didn't consider trying to outsmart Google.
That's the stage we've got to. Something related to that, with this open crowd thing, it's been getting me thinking about replacing Gmail. I'm not particularly paranoid about it, but I think it's a good way to go. And did you see Open Exchange are about to release an open source? They do big mail clients and stuff. They do a very nice integrated HTML5-erized web portal to their services. They're going to release an equivalent to Google Docs. Yeah, and it's all open source. So I am going to look into it and hopefully write something about actually running your own kind of closest equivalent to Google Mail, contacts, documents, image sharing and all that stuff on your own cloud if that's how you want to run it. But the main thing is it looks really nice and I use Google Docs for everything. So that's kind of an important part of it for me.
Which brings us to the 12 minutes to go reminder. Still to come, we have rants and raves on an ad hoc basis, the challenge report stuff, and open ballots. Do we have any rants or raves? No, I don't think we do we?
No.
What about Speak Your Brains?
No Speak Your Brains.
No brains. Wow, this is swiftly moving on to the challenge.
I've got something to say because we are supposed to be doing the live broadcast thing, which hasn't happened. We've been really busy, but I am going to edit this podcast using Arda 3 for the first time, which I see as a step towards being able to, because I don't use Arda. to a step to being able to do the live version, which I want to do with Ard because it seems like the perfect thing to do. So that's a challenge for me. I'm going to edit it rather than using Cubase. I'm going to edit it with Arda. But we've got another plan.
Another plan. Because we all we spend so much time dissing KDE, we think it would be a good opportunity to revisit the Try KDE challenge that we did a few years ago. Because KDE's obviously got so much better. You know, every single press release that the KDE Foundation, that the K Foundation releases, tells us how fantastic KDE is. So we're going to put our mouths where their mouths are and have a great big KDE snogfest. Apart from Graham, who's going to stick with KDE, aren't you?
Yeah, because you guys will need all the help you can get.
So I've got a double challenge because I'm using Ubuntu at the moment and I'm going to install KDE in Ubuntu and then use the two things together.
Layers upon layers.
You can install it quite easily from the Software Center. It's great. It's like I installed Telepathy the other day, which is its communications thing for instant messaging and stuff, and it's really nicely integrated into the desktop. There's loads of things that are great about KDE.
And we'll be hearing more about things that are great about KDE in two short weeks.
Can I just say something? Can I ask you a question? What is the point of Flash? Flash player. What is the point of that rubbish piece of software?
It had a very important job to play in the beginning because there was no other way of doing it.
At the beginning, about 10 years ago.
It's a legacy app now.
He's just leaving all hardware behind.
Blame designers. There are so many designers that can use Flash and nothing else.
And they should stop.
Also blame people who are still using old versions of browsers that don't support any
modern framework.
But even if you use a new browser and you install Flash, if your hardware is old, then it just doesn't perform properly. It's just rubbish. You just left all the hardware behind, all the old hardware behind. Really nicely done. Thank you, Adobe. Anyway,
Macromedia.
That's what my.
It used to be Macromedia.
Anyway, that was my contribution.
We should have put that in the rants and raves section.
Thank you.
how long have we got now, Graham?
We have got 9 minutes.
9 minutes of podcast joy still to come, which will consist mainly of the open ballot. Ben asked, does Microsoft understand irony? And this is because Microsoft, along with Nokia, Oracle, et al., has lodged a complaint with the European Commission saying that Google is unfairly abusing its dominant market position. Is this the search result ranking thing where Google is burying results from its competitors?
No. Rankings? This is an Android thing. They're saying with Android's got about 70% market share in the EU now, and they're using that to shoehorn people into Google services, Gmail, etc., etc.
Okay. Right.
Because that's not what the other folks do at all.
No, it's not, is it? But just because other people do it doesn't make it right.
It's so convenient, though. You buy a new Android phone, you put your Gmail address in, job done.
Yeah. Well, actually, my Android tablet came with my Yahoo account set up in it. Because it was linked to my phone. And with the same account on my phone, it was already set up. So they didn't
force you down the Gmail route?
No.
Did you have to buy it with a Google Play account?
I bought it through Google Play, yeah.
Surely you're not forced to use Gmail anyway. I
mean,
it's all set up for you, you can still use Bing.
You have to have a Google account. So you have to have a Gmail account and any sort of Google Play notifications will go to your Gmail account. But other than that, you can then, you know...
Yeah, then downloading apps, you have to have a Gmail
account. You have to have a Google Mail account.
Well, you have to have a Google account.
In order to own an Android phone.
Well, to use it, you can own it and just look at it without one. You have to have a Google account in general, and the Google account includes a Gmail account.
Oh, I see. So they're sort of bundling other services. So it's like what Microsoft was doing.
Yeah.
Apple.
But they're not then...
Which is the irony, I imagine.
But they don't try and then block out other services. You have to have that account. But if, like I say, my main email is my Yahoo, and that works fine with it. You can install other web browsers and use them as your default browser. You can do whatever. You can use Bing as your default search engine if you wish.
Right. Okay. Now I understand now.
And there's nothing stop if that, you know, their Nexus device is from Google. There's nothing stopping anyone else making an Android phone and getting rid of that.
Mm. Yeah, and the Nexus devices are unlocked, so you can just get a new image based on Android and put it on the Nexus devices.
So it's not like you can buy you can't buy an iOS phone that isn't made by Apple, that doesn't rely on Apple's strange iCloud stuff and all the rest of it.
And if you do buy it, you can't then put a different version of iOS or a different OS on it. So it is by far and away the most open mobile system. Yeah. But that doesn't make it right.
It's like rain on your wedding day. Like a free ride that you've already paid.
I noticed that those things you mentioned are in fact not ironic.
Although too long in IT's comments comes at the end of the list of comments, it is the best comment, so I'm going to read it out first.
Oh, he's standing on the shoulder of giants.
He is. Or at least in the way that this is laid out, he's being squashed by a great big pile of giants. He, or indeed she, says, as the one person in the world without a mobile telephone, I really don't care. I have better things to do than constantly be in touch with people. My landline at home doesn't ring either. I disconnected the bell. Brilliant. The phone is there purely for my convenience. That's brilliant. I did that with my work phone. Then I changed it back.
Yeah, not yesterday. It was ringing and ringing.
I was too afraid to be free. Was it?
A little bit.
Probably a wrong number.
You see, my mobile is broken and I'm seriously considering going without one. Because no one calls me and I don't call anyone. I don't want people to call me.
All right, so you were feeling lonely.
You could get one of those Amstrad email things.
I could. Why?
Biggles1000 says they are perfectly justified to complain. I'm not the greatest fan of Microsoft, but in a childish game of quid pro quo, their complaint is fair. They made Windows the OS with the biggest user share by far and put a lot of effort into making it the most popular. Then the EC tells them to publicise other browsers. And for the record, I can install other browsers on my Windows phone, just not make it default. Yes, I'll Google that is a saying. I'll Windows that is not. Google is far more in the wrong than MS, constantly playing the freedom and innocence card while really being more guilty than Microsoft. Verified Penguin, not verified, says... even if Microsoft does see the irony, so what? They are a freaking corporation. They see an opportunity to bash another corporation, they seize it. The question that you asked was, does Microsoft understand irony?
I did ask subsequent questions at the bottom.
Yeah, I see that. But the H1 question, mostly people said no. Microsoft does not understand irony. Mostly... with the caveat that it's a legal entity and therefore doesn't understand abstract nouns.
Actually, I believe Microsoft's a corporation in America. In America, corporations are classed as people.
Yes, that's right.
So technically, Microsoft is a person.
You're so clever, Ben.
But technically it isn't, because we're not in America.
But Microsoft is.
If I can't see it, then it doesn't exist. Like, okay. If I close my eyes now, you'll go away. You didn't think about that, did you, Mr. Clever?
I didn't.
You can see God, can you?
Alex Mayer says, choice is key. Coming from the side of the corporations, I think they have a right to complain, even if it is ironic, as is the case with Microsoft. Alex Mayer said better things than that. I don't know why I underlined that one line. Which wasn't the best bit. Microsoft understanding what? Che Guevara says, Microsoft does not understand technology. Let alone irony.
Is that what Che Guevara said?
That's what Che Guevara said, but he probably said it in like Cuban or Argentinian or one of those funny foreign Guarani
languages.
Sultan of Swing says, ha ha ha, this is just hilarious. Actually, that's all I'm going to say this time. Goes away and starts laughing manically. Not very insightful, to be honest, but it was an opportunity for me to say I'm going to see Mark Knopfler next month. I'm really looking forward to it. Prolific Puffin has left something that he would like to be read out by Effie.
Oh, yeah, which one is it?
Oh, but find your reading glasses. It's the one where I've written Effie to read out.
I'm old. I just don't understand. What, the whole thing?
Well, just until the bit where it'd be obvious that you have to stop.
All right. Aaron is Microsoft middle name. It is pronounced Myron Crossoff. Okay, you got me. I only posted that as I just wanted to hear Effie saying that word. There you go.
Thanks, Effie.
See, I still can read. I'm old, but I can read.
Ray Woods says, a smell of sweet fresh air into the mobile market can do nothing but good. We may then be able to move our data around from BlackBerry to iPhone or Windows and back again without getting cramped fingers. That's pretty much it. Everybody's pointing out the crashing irony of Microsoft complaining about anti-competitive behaviour when they are the most anti-competitive of all. But I chose not to read any of those comments out because they're all so obvious.
It's also good for us because we've totally run out of time.
Awesome.
Did I pronounce that word properly?
It's a made-up word. So
yes.
Yeah. Okay, fine.
Right, that's cool. It. Let's call it a day.
Let's go.
Let's go to the pub.
Thanks for listening. Sorry it's short. We only had this room for 45 minutes. We'll see you again in 2 weeks. Bye.
Adios. It's such a nice day to be